Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, whose mission is to extend Christian ministry by caring for the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, and by working with others to improve health and quality of life in our communities. Now here's your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and we are delighted to welcome back my dear friend, colleague, Jim Powell. Jim, previous to retirement, was with the Children's Hospital as chaplain at Covenant and also was intimately involved with children dealing with cancer. Jim, it's a delight to have you back again.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Before we came on air, we were talking that between us, you have 36 and I have 54. So we've almost 100 years of living in this fair city together. And both of us would see it as home.
It's home now, yes.
You were talking to a friend, Jim, before we came on the air, and you mentioned that you and your beloved wife spent this Christmas together on your own.
It was a much more quiet, intimate time, the two of us. We spent a little time with our oldest son and grandson, but for the most part, it was the two of us for the first time in years. It gave us a chance to see if we could be friends again, as opposed to parents and grandparents and entertainers.
So how was the new role?
It was good. We enjoyed it. We had a very relaxing, rather quiet, good time during Christmas this year.
We talked about retirement. How many years have you been retired now?
It's been about 9 years. It's been different than what I expected, different than what my parents considered retirement. But now I see it more as an opportunity to pick and choose what I would like to be involved in.
Where has the picking and choosing led you?
Currently, I'm working as chaplain at Carillon Life Care Community, enjoying that. It's different than retirement, but it's something that I feel that is my opportunity, and I'm able to use some of the experiences that I've had from my past to be able to live there and work there with the residents and the staff as well.
As you transition from living in distinct home to a new community, what were some of the challenges when you made that move to Carillon?
First of all, it was a real downsizing, just in terms of the space, but I also found it to be a downsizing in the expectations, the stresses, the pressures of taking care of the home where we were, being able to accommodate all the pressures, the stresses of that. It was a transition into a more simple lifestyle that accommodated both our age as we were aging, but also the medical circumstances that we were in. Because I felt like now then we had some of the security that I had not been able to obtain myself throughout my career.
You have struggled with diabetes since you were a child?
Yes. Was diagnosed as a pre-adolescent.
So that's been something you've dealt with and the attendant conditions that came with it?
Yes. The results of having 55 plus years of that particular disease also presents other medical dilemmas. Mine in particular has shown up with heart disease. Okay. So working with those two conditions presents an ongoing challenge.
Dealing with the concern you have about your health, you find that community living where you are?
Yes, it really is a community. Get a lot of support from our neighbors, but especially the staff. They are there, prepared, ready to meet whatever the medical need is that we have or physical need at any given time. And that's a real reassuring confidence that we have at this point.
When you talk on Sunday, when you lead worship for the community, it's like almost familial. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, well, I consider us fellow strugglers. Yeah, we're going through this together. That in itself is reassuring. I don't know about anybody else. I don't want to have to go through this journey alone. I think that's pretty universal. So being there really gives a sense of community, companionship. I consider us journeying this together, providing mutual support.
What's the challenge in terms of taking on a new assignment in retirement? What are some of the boundaries you've had to maintain as you live out your own desired goals in retirement?
A lot of it has to do with what would I like to do at this time? Where is my passion? Where is my interest? Where can I reinvest myself? There was a book some time ago, Portfolio for Life, and it had to do with most folks, when they've reached retirement age, they have a lifetime of experiences, of interests. And now then, when they get to that age of retirement, they get to pick and choose where they would like to utilize this lifetime of experience. And so being able to make those choices, but then also to be able to say, no, no, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity. However, this is where I would like to be involved, or that's not the place for me at this point. To be able to say yes and no, based upon what your heart is saying, where your passion is.
Where does reading fit into your daily existence?
I give some time every day to doing some reading, but especially for the sake of reflection. I'm learning how to read for pleasure. That still is a challenge, and I want to do that. My grandson gave me a book for Christmas, and I really want to get into it. It's about third on the stack of books to read at this point. I want to do more of that relaxed kind of reading, but I definitely give some time each day to reflective reading so that I can kind of stay on top of and stay abreast of where I am at this point in my life journey, the kinds of issues that I am dealing with mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Those are the real issues that I find are most challenging for me.
Are there particular books that come to mind or particular themes that you explore in this reflective reading?
There's some that Richard Rohr has written that I enjoy. Frequently, it's not so much who the author is as much as they present an idea, they present a concept, and I'm able to respond to that based upon my experience, how I have encountered those circumstances in life.
Just for the sake of those who are not acquainted with Richard Rohr, tell our listeners something about Richard Rohr, if you will, and the particular attraction that Richard Rohr has for you.
He's a Franciscan priest that's in Albuquerque. He's been there for years. He's maintained his Catholic tradition, but he's also stretched the boundaries of that. So it's so much more inclusive. And he also has a way of incorporating everybody's experience under the umbrella of God's presence, God's availability, and us being the incarnation of that. I like the example he gave in one presentation where a Jewish rabbi had shared with him his experience of the ancient Hebrew tradition. The fourth commandment, he humorously acknowledged that Protestants frequently think of that as thou shalt not cuss. But the truth is, in the ancient Hebrew tradition, you never did pronounce the name of God. It was that revered, so it was not pronounceable, except the first half of God's name was expressed when we took our first breath. And then the last syllable of God's name was pronounced when we took our last sigh. Why? And that to me is more of the presence of God. It is my breathing.
Jim, we'll take a brief break and then we'll be back to continue this wonderful conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating Covenant Heart and Vascular Institute. Since 1965, Covenant has brought together cardiac physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. More information is available on cardiac care online at www.covenanthealth.org. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I am delighted to have as our special guest this Sunday afternoon, Jim Powell. And Jim, before we went on break, we were talking about Richard Rohr and how in retirement he has been such an inspiration to you, and especially in reflecting on the wonder of God's presence in the circumstances of our everyday life. Chuck, our benign and beautiful producer, was wondering if you have any words of wisdom for people who are approaching retirement.
I just have my experience. My wife was very helpful as I was getting ready for retirement, because she indicated that it would probably take 2 years for me to be able to kind of change my mindset and recover from the burnout that I'd been experiencing. And I thought, oh, I can do this in 3 months. 2 years later, I felt like I was just then beginning to have an appreciation for the career I had, the place where I was at that time in my life, ready to begin to make readjustments into how to live differently. It's a dramatic change. Whereas during careers, we are productive, we work hard, we have these great commitments, but so much of it is based upon our productivity. And at retirement, it's more of a choice. What would I like to participate in? It's not a matter of productivity or working hard. It's a matter of where would my heart like to be? I had a lot of freedom and choice in my career, how I was going to do my job, but I still had a lot of accountability, the time clock, the responsibilities of a job description, the institution that I was working for. So there were still those expectations that I had to live up to. In retirement, I become my own CEO. I'm the one that gets to choose where I want to invest myself.
Jim, last time in conversation on Faith Matters, we looked a little at that beautiful book that you've written, The Corner Room. It's a book based on your reminiscences of the time as a chaplain. The last time you told us that beautiful story of the corner room. Revisit the corner room again with us, will you? Because it's a very beautiful story.
It was a young man. He was 15. He was diagnosed with cancer, brain cancer. We had developed a good rapport, but at one point he shared with me that he did not want to go to heaven. His dilemma was that in spite of all of his religious upbringing and his religious participation, there was not going to be anybody there that he knew. His parents were not going to be there, his brother, his grandfather. He didn't want to go someplace where he didn't know anybody, and especially the people who were most special to him. So he had a real dilemma. He knew what his religious tradition had taught him, but his experience said, all of my investments, all of my relationships are here.
And all he knew of God was here, in the sense, in the relationships. So his God was with people, in the family, in the relationships that he had, and he certainly didn't want to sever those.
No, and he didn't have a real appreciation for halos, robes, and singing in the choir, you know, that kind of thing.
How did the conversation eventually turn for you?
We spent some time in talking about this, and he came up with his own resolution on it, and he was at peace with that. I was very pleased with the struggle that he went through. I was honored to participate with him in that, to give feedback on what I was understanding him to say. Late one evening, he called and said, I've got it figured out. I know what's going to happen, and I'm ready. He died very peacefully.
How lovely. What a lovely story of being in conversation when we listen to each other, not with any fixed notions, theological or otherwise, but just the basic humanity that we share together in this divine journey, which is human. Looking through the book, I'm intrigued by many of the titles and by the content, more than in addition to the titles. We talked before we came on air about a father's prayer, how a father's prayer for a child who was dying changed from cure to acceptance.
Identifying with him as a father, my first response would be, I need somebody to fix this. My child is suffering. We've had this accident. Whatever the circumstance might be, I want there to be a resolution, a fix, and I want God to take care of this. And so I pray to that end, please fix, redeem, resolve this dilemma. And so often that's not the case. That doesn't occur. He wrestled with this and dealt with it with his own religious tradition and finally came around to the point that he said, I think I've been praying for the wrong thing, because it was an incurable situation. And he said, I've been praying for a fix. And what I think that I need to be praying for is that I don't lose my faith.
If you go to page 122 in the book, captures the journey you were in together.
While standing at the nurse's station later that afternoon, I saw Beth's dad and mom walking through the unit on their way out of the hospital. Her dad glanced over at me, and as our eyes met, he gave me a slight nod, and I had a sudden sense of camaraderie, as if the two of us had been together in a mortal battle, and both had survived.
Thanks, Jim. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back to continue this wonderful conversation. Thank you.
You're listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ-FM 89.1. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, celebrating Covenant Heart and Vascular Institute. Since 1965, Covenant has brought together cardiac physicians, nurses, and professionals whose sacred mission is compassionate care for every patient. More information is available on cardiac care online at www.covenanthealth.org. The views, opinions, and comments that are expressed on this program are solely those of the host and guest and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions of KTTZ-FM, Texas Tech Public Media, Texas Tech University, Texas Tech University System, or our faculty and staff, our affiliates, our partners, and our sponsors. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ-FM 89.1. Now again, your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm your host, Tom McGovern, and so happy this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest, Jim Powell. Jim, previous to retirement, was with the Children's Hospital at Covenant, previously Methodist, and also was intimately involved in the care of children who and families who are dealing with cancer. Now I'd like for us, if you will, to share with our listeners some of the other wisdom that you've gathered from your many years of faithful service to children and families. I was intrigued with, in the sacred space, we're talking about the need to respect the intimacy of the spiritual, how private it is in many ways. So what did you learn from this young woman that you described so elegantly?
She taught me the importance of everybody having their own personal space, that it is a real violation for me to intrude on anyone's space. We might physically identify that as the closed door to the bedroom that we knock, the closed door to the bathroom, even the closed front door to my house that people knock and ask permission, or I invite them in. Then they're in my space. But we also have this real intimate space that's just around us, that it's important for me to respect that.
What were the circumstances of this particular story?
She had been at school. It was the first couple of days at school. She was in the parking lot waiting for her mother and sitting on one of the light poles there. An accident occurred and a car backed into her leg and crushed it, and it necessitated an amputation. Essentially, her space had been severely violated. Even in the hospital, if we're not careful as staff, we just come walking in and don't ask permission. It's their room. And she taught me a great deal about that, because at one time when I went the first occasion to meet her, I always try to be attentive to any expression that they might have, facial expression or body language that shows whether or not they have a discomfort with my being there or how close to get. I inadvertently violated that space.
Tell about the bed. You might read a little, if you will.
I intentionally look for any indications from children that will inform me of their comfort level, for I am the stranger. I am in their room, and I try to be respectful of their space. I paused when I got to the side of her bed, and as I moved towards the head of the bed, I paused. I reached out to touch the raised railing, and ordinarily, the railing for a 13-year-old would not be up. A raised railing tends to feel, like it's confining and childish to adolescents. And as I touched the railing, she cut her eyes slightly, and in my direction, she scowled, and in a voice that was startling cold, said, "Can't you read?" She slowly moved her eyes to the right and down until they focused on a spot beside my left hand, resting on the bed rail. There, taped to the bed, was a printed note on a piece of notebook-sized paper. "Do not touch the bed." I dropped my hand and took a step back.
What an encounter. And of course, you go on to describe how you were able to help this young woman in her struggles for her space. And of course, the profound grief of losing her leg at that age and everything attendant to it. So how lovely. You know, I'm reminded of pictures of the Christ with the door. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." There's no handle to the outside. It's open from the inside. And so it's the human heart, the human being, the human person inviting us in, that we need to respect that space and that place. And of course, the conversations that pursue from that respect are intimate and helpful and healing. There are so many wonderful stories in this great book of yours, and I strongly urge our listeners to buy a copy and read it. We talked a little about the grandfather, the minister, the pastor, whose daughter died in an accident and whose granddaughter also suffered an amputation of a hand, I think, after this accident.
Yes. She was a small child, suffered in the accident, such an injury to her hand that it had to be amputated. A part of the struggle between the grandfather and the granddaughter was how to reconnect with one another, because he sorely wanted to help. It was a real struggle because as a minister, he was believed to have the answers. With a 5-year-old granddaughter who's experienced such a trauma, there are no adequate answers.
So how do they work out this together?
It was an amazing process over the course of a few days. They had a real empathy because they both had experienced significant loss. He had lost his daughter, she had lost her mother and her hand. Together, they began to do things one-handed with each other. He practiced eating with the other hand. They practiced learning to color with the other hand, how to tie a shoe with the other hand. And they worked together, each with their opposite hand, the one that they had, to even tie a shoe. There's something about doing these things together that is spiritually healing. I guess there's a fix to it when there's a camaraderie, when there's a companionship. That seems to be more the answer to the dilemma.
We don't have time to get to any more of these wonderful stories, but again, I want to encourage the listeners to get a copy of The Corner Room by James Powell. You can get it in Amazon and many other places, and I think it's wonderful reading, Jim. Did you want to conclude, perhaps, with, in your introduction to this wonderful book of yours, your remembrance or a reflection on the late John Claypool?
What struck me, I guess, in both compiling these stories and coming up with the final manuscript was something I remembered John saying years ago when I was an intern at the church where he was. "We don't understand life and then live it. We live life, and then upon reflection, we may understand a little about it."
Jim, in a very special way, you have shared this beautiful expression with us in our conversation this afternoon. Thanks again for coming, and it's always a delight to have you on this program.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you.
You've been listening to Faith Matters with your host, Tom McGovern. Support for Faith Matters comes from Covenant Health, working to improve health and quality of life in our community. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ-FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.